Hello, pet lovers, and welcome to the Space Coast Pet Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Roger Welton, a.k.a. Dr. Roger, coming to you from the Florida Space Coast. Today is my annual Hidden Holiday Dangers to Your Pets episode. There are certain dangers that are unique to this time of year, lurking in the home, and I want to make you aware of those so you can have your best opportunity to keep your pets safe this holiday season, and everybody has a safe and wonderful holiday season, including your pets. There is one listener email today, so we're going to dive into that episode or the episode in just a moment. This email hails from California. Dear Dr. Roger, I loved your Doodling of America episode. When I listened to it, I was actually considering getting a golden doodle as our next family dog. What are your thoughts on this cross? I know they are technically mutts, but I have met a few and I love the way they look and they seem sweet. Thanks for this podcast. I'm a huge fan. Happy holidays, Molly, Newport Beach, California. It's kind of funny, Molly, this email coming from you. If I'm going to think of like the doodliest state in the country, it's going to be California. I go out there occasionally to see my childhood best friend, Steve Jordan, who's a celebrity physical fitness trainer. We train celebrities out there. It's pretty awesome. I think he lives kind of near you. Costa Del Rey, I think, is near Newport Beach. But at any rate, it's kind of funny. He's got a very odd doodle. it's a mini Bernedoodle. So it's a Bernese Mountain Dog crossed with poodle and then miniaturized over generations. And so normally you cross a Bernese Mountain Dog and a standard poodle, you're going to have a fairly large dog. But this dog is only about like 33 pounds. So mini Bernedoodle, and he paid a lot of money for the doodle. You know, back in the day when this whole designer breed phenomenon started, I want to say like early, I don't know, I'd say like late 2010s, like 2009, 2010 around, I started seeing people crossing these, you know, buying these crossbreeds, and essentially I'm like, this is rather absurd spending all this money for what's essentially a mutt when you can just go to the pound and pick one out for, you know, just a small adoption fee. But, you know, people are going to do what they want to do and get what they want to get. And I, you know, to be honest, I've met a lot of wonderful doodles, you know, and I see a lot of them. Actually, for example, my friend Steve's doodle is amazing. Her name's Yama, and his wife is Japanese, so they gave her a Japanese name. And she's just a darling dog, and she's healthy, and, you know, she's like outside of his infant son, that's like his world. He adores that dog. So I would say with your doodle, just you know, do your diligence. I've seen some great ones. I've seen some that are not so healthy and even skittish, beer aggressive, you know, just like any other I'm gonna call them a breed, okay? They're not technically a breed, but I'll call them a breed. Just like any other breed, you know, bad breeding can result in bad things. So do your diligence. Make sure that, you know, the parents are at a minimum OFA certified for hips. Make sure that they've had pre-breeding examinations. Meet the parents. Make sure their temperaments are good. Make sure they look healthy. Make sure their body conditions are good. And if you do that diligence with any breed and do your research and you know, just don't jump at the first one you see. And certainly, if you go back a few episodes, breeder red flags, listen to that episode. Avoid the red flags. And hopefully you end up with a well-tempered and healthy doodle. So I wish you the best and happy holidays back to you. Into our episode now, we're going to talk about some dangers that are unique to this holiday season. I have been a veterinarian going on 21 years. Actually, oh my God, it's going to be 22 years in February. And, you know, I've seen a lot of bad things happen this time of year, and I just want to help you out and make sure that we keep your dogs and cats safe. So first thing I want to talk about is food. Food can cause a lot of problems. So onion and garlic are potentially toxic to dogs, potentially toxic to cats. The good thing about cats is they usually won't eat onions and garlic, but I'd still not give your cat anything with onions and garlic. Certainly don't put it in their food because they can have the same issues as dogs. Specifically dogs, if they eat enough garlic or food containing garlic, I'm sorry, and or onions, they can develop a dangerous anemia. So for anybody who puts garlic in their dog's food as a flea preventative, please don't. I think I covered that in a recent episode. But garlic is not only is it a it doesn't do anything to prevent fleas, it is potentially quite toxic. So stay away from that. Fatty meats. So, you have very rich meats that might like beef brisket, meats that have a high fat content can set off pancreatitis. So pancreatitis, and this is going to be more an issue in dogs, but certainly could happen in cats too. But if you have a little terrier type dogs, so Yorkies, Dachshunds, your little guys are the most susceptible to pancreatitis. So please avoid fatty meats in the little guys especially. I would avoid it for all dogs because of the fact that any dog could get pancreatitis, but also it's going to commonly give them just GI upset and diarrhea. And the last item of foods is bones. Oh my goodness, the amount of bones I have pulled out of guts, I lost count a long time ago. So after you cook meat, the bones inside can splinter very easily. And so if they get a hold of these, they crunch them down and they swallow them, the sharp edges of the bone could lacerate the bowel and obstruct. And so certain, they can perforate bowel very easily. And so you want to be very, very careful with bones. What we do is when we're like cleaning up and we're getting rid of bones, we take them outside to the dumpster outside immediately. I don't even let them linger. I don't even take a chance because dogs, they cannot resist bones. And of course, they're delicious to them. They try to get the bone marrow out of them. That's especially, and that's why they crunch them up and potentially have a serious hazard. In fact, my first dog, Waldo, Cocker Spaniel, my inspiration to become a veterinarian, I wrote about it in The Man in the White Coat. My Cocker Spaniel got into the garbage and ate a bunch of chicken bones, and he got completely obstructed. He's very, very, very sick. Luckily, the bones made it to his distal bowel, so just under some gentle sedation, the vet was able to pull the bones out of his rectal area. And we got our dog back, and luckily surgery was avoided. But I remember being in the waiting room. I was maybe 4 years old, waiting to get the report of my dog, absolutely devastated and crying. And that dog was my best friend. And case in point, it happened to my family. So please be very careful with bones. That's probably one of my biggest concerns when it comes to food. So let's talk about under the Christmas tree. We wrap up our presents, we put them under the Christmas tree, and sometimes there's goodies in there, and some of those goodies are very bad for our dogs, specifically. So chocolate toxicity is a problem. It is something that we don't uncommonly see. The most dangerous chocolates are ones that are semi-sweet or baker's chocolate because they have the highest content of a molecule called theobromine. So theobromine is kind of like caffeine. We metabolize it and digest it very, very easily, passes right through us. Dogs can't eliminate it, and it accumulates, and essentially it overstimulates the dog's nervous system and leads to seizures. It also causes a spike in liver enzymes, and could put the dog into some semblance of liver failure. And so, we don't exactly understand the mechanism as to how that happens, but I've seen big spikes in liver enzymes and what we call hepatopathy after ingestion of chocolate. I'm going to post on my show page a link for the Merck Pharmaceutical actually created a chocolate toxicity calculator. So you can actually enter the weight of your dog, the amount of chocolate they consumed, what kind of chocolate it was, and they'll tell you how emergent the situation is. Do you need immediate veterinary care? Do you just want to be careful and monitor? It's a really cool tool. So that will be posted at my show page. I would, click on that link and save it in your favorites because it could be very, very helpful to know how at risk your dog may be after ingestion of chocolate. Another thing we see is xylitol toxicity. And so xylitol is a sugar alcohol. It is a sugar substitute. And you'd be surprised, xylitol, even if you don't get a sugar-free dessert or treat or candy or gum per se, there's commonly xylitol in these candies, and you just don't know it. Avoid all candies. Don't let them get near them. If they do ingest any candies or gum, check the ingredients immediately and make sure there's no xylitol or other sugar alcohols in there. What happens with xylitol is, so we get the sweetness of xylitol, and it's essentially pretty harmless for us. Passes through us without being metabolized, but in the case of dogs, their body recognizes it as sugar. And so what happens is they spike insulin to trigger the cells to take up glucose, that what's supposed to happen when simple carbohydrates are ingested. But there is no, it's not actually sugar, so there's no sugar to be taken up. So what happens is these dogs get dangerously hypoglycemic because their body keeps shooting out insulin to take up the sugar that isn't there, and they can quickly seizure and even die. So be very careful with xylitol toxicity. My late Stella, my Labrador Retriever that I recently lost, boy, that dog, she was always trying to die on me. I treated her for both chocolate toxicity one year. Another year, I treated her for xylitol toxicity, and she nearly died both times. And then finally, I finally lost her with the obstruction. Not going to revisit that. There's a whole episode about it. Learn from my loss. Check it out. But I've experienced these things myself. And so, case in point, here I am, a veterinarian, and these dogs just do things. They get under the radar. You just forget. You get busy. You're distracted during the holidays. Some of you have small children, and we just kind of lose touch of some of these things that we're, taking for granted and leaving around. Happened to me. So be very careful with that. With cats, let's talk about on the Christmas tree. Cats are obsessed with Christmas trees, and they're especially obsessed with tinsel and garland that goes on the trees. And the most dangerous foreign body that exists is called a linear foreign body. So anything that is straight, like string, garland, tinsel, the cats are obsessed with it. They just love stringy things, and if they ingest them, the linear objects, it straightens out as the body is trying to contract around it and move it along via peristalsis, contraction of smooth muscles of the small intestine. But rather than move along, the intestine just bunches up around it and gets taut, and it can lacerate the intestine. So that is like the mother of all emergencies, is a linear foreign body. So I would avoid garland and tinsel or anything stringy going on those trees, especially for our kitty cats. So let's talk about some potentially toxic plants. Now, I think these are a little overblown, except for lilies. I'll get to lilies in just a moment, but they can cause a good amount of GI upset if dogs or cats ingest them. That would be poinsettias, holly, and mistletoe. So, I wouldn't avoid having these things in the home because they're really not that dangerous. But maybe put them in locations where the dog or cat isn't able to munch them. With cats, it's challenging because they're so acrobatic and they can get just about anywhere. But I would just, if you put these items in the house, just monitor the kitty cat and make sure that they're not particularly interested in it. And if they are, you might get a pretty good bout of vomiting and diarrhea. Not deadly, like I said, but probably advisable to just get them out of the house if the cat just cannot resist chewing on those plants. Now, the ones that are very toxic are lilies, and lilies. In cats can actually throw them into kidney failure. So, be very, I would just avoid lilies. Don't have them in your house if you have a cat. It's not worth the risk. I worked with a technician at one of my previous clinics that I used to own, and her cat went into kidney failure after eating just half of a lily plant. And we were able to stabilize her, keep her alive for another couple of years, but she ultimately died from kidney failure, and her life was cut short because of it. So just avoid lilies in the house if you have a cat. And let's be vigilant about purses. People bring purses to holiday gatherings, and you might line them up in a bedroom or something like that. But cats and dogs will rummage through purses, and they're going to find things like chewing gum, many of which have xylitol in them, which are toxic to dogs, as we discussed, and medications. People travel with their medications. They might get into something that is toxic. So, that's something to do, is like mind the purses. Maybe make sure they're zipped up and closed, make sure they're not open, make sure they're stored in areas where the animals are not going to get into them. So, just some common sense stuff. I want to always put this information out there so we can keep your pets safe this time of year. Molly, thank you very much for your email. I wish you the best of luck with your future golden doodle. Please feel free to email anytime if you have additional questions about your new puppy. That is my episode for today. That will be my final episode of the year. I want to thank you all for tuning in. It just always never ceases to amaze me that so many people care what I have to say, and it's quite humbling. So thank you for your listenership. Thank you for your participation. Have wonderful holiday season and a happy new year. I'll be coming back with you the second week of January. I will be presenting my favorite pet New Year resolutions for the year. I usually have a new set each year, so stay tuned for that. And thank you again. Have a great rest of your day.